This is the word of the Lord from Paul in his letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ. Excuse me. With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him in the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he has set forth in Christ, as he planned for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Hello, everyone. I'm trying to assess if I should. I'm going to go up, okay, since I'm rather short. It's good to see all of you here this morning. I don't know if you missed me, but I missed you and I missed the church. For those of you who don't know, I was away for about 2 months on a sabbatical, and so it was time for me to, I tried my best to kind of recalibrate my heart on Christ and just be recentered on him. And so I think it was helpful. It was good for me and hopefully for my family as well. This morning at Tyson's, as I was fellowshipping with a few folks there, I think they jokingly asked me if I was able to write a book. And I told them, I read a book. I didn't write a book. But the whole time was really good for me. And so I hope to personally connect with you more, in weeks to come. Before I jump into the passage this morning, I want to lead us into a congregation of prayer, especially in light of all that's been happening. And so I'm going to make a supplication. And then when I say thank you, we pray to you, Lord, if you could respond back by saying, Lord, hear our prayer. Okay, so let's practice that. Thank you. We pray to you, Lord. Okay, all right, so let's pray. These are brief supplications this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the goodness and mercy you've shown us in your death and resurrection and your promised return and the goodness and mercy we experience each day. Thank you. We pray to you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for our church life this summer, for the friendships that have developed, for different kinds of healing we've experienced, and for the rest that you've given us. Thank you. We pray to you, Lord. We pray for our church's life this coming year, for our small groups and classes, and all our ministry to people around us and to those who most need defense and care in our city, that you'd empower all of this to make it fruitful and good. Empower us by your Spirit, we pray to you, Lord. We remember your heart to defend the orphan and widow. We remember your heart to reveal yourself to people who do not know you. Lead us in your love as we live out your heart, we pray to you, Lord. Lord Jesus, your kingdom is good news and real hope for our world full of hatred and war. Your kingdom brings peace to everything and everyone you've created. We believe this. We pray to you, Lord. Lord, in our frustration, in our weakness, in our own shared complicity, we pray for that peace in our city, in our nation, in Charlottesville, in Barcelona, Sierra Leone, North Korea, and elsewhere. We pray to you, Lord. Jesus, come again soon. We pray to you, Lord. I'm going to give us just maybe 20 seconds to make supplication in your heart for the things that are close to you this morning. So take about 20 seconds to do that. Heavenly Father, you know the desires and the longing of our hearts. And you know the prayers that are there before we utter words. And so we pray that you would hear our prayers and answer them according to your grace and your mercy and your goodness. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, it's great to be back. I was able to preach at Tyson's. It felt good just being with church family. And so it's good being with you this morning. As I shared, I tried for the past 2 months to try to recalibrate my heart on Christ. Because, you know, that's where Christian life starts, right? It's kind of knowing who Jesus is and experiencing Him and His love for us. And then living that out, sharing that love to those around us. And so it was great for me to do that. And ideally, we should be doing that weekly and daily. But at times it's hard because our lives get so busy and hectic that the gospel, that's good news, often get pushed aside. And we center our lives on other things, whether it's work or relationships or, you know, leisure or whatever it might be. And when that happens, we begin to slowly feel empty at times. And so my hope and prayer this morning, even as I share about God's love for us, is that our hearts would be re-centered on Christ. Because if you are a Christian this morning, that is most essential. Okay, so I hope to do that. And in Paul's letters, usually what he does is he introduces himself and his colleagues. And then there is a Thanksgiving, a section he devotes to giving thanks to who God is and what God has done for the people. But here in Ephesians, rather than going into thanksgiving, there is this outburst of praise, right? So if you have your Bibles open with you, look at verse 3. Verse 3 in chapter 1 is the theme verse of this section, and I think really the whole first half of Ephesians. Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." We'll pause there. Paul simply says to these Christians in Ephesus, and you know, usually these early Christians are suffering, right? They're going through hardships. But Paul says, you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And that truth applies to us today. That you today, as you sit here, you've been immensely blessed in Christ. And actually, I think the key phrase here is the phrase "in Christ." It's repeated 11 times in the first 14 verses of Ephesians. And Paul actually uses it more than 160 times in his letters. Right? So it's, you've been blessed. God loves you. He has a plan for you in Christ. God saved you. God moved towards you. God adopted you in Christ. And if you read this section here, first 14 verses, Paul says, you've been adopted into the family of God. You've experienced redemption, meaning God purchased you out of some sort of bondage. He cleansed your sin. He's prepared an eternal inheritance for you. All of that is in Christ. And so this concept, this theological concept in Christ is essential to who we are, to the gospel, and actually the message of the Bible. When I was in middle school, I'm sure I shared this before if you've been here for a little while, but I played football in middle school, and I was on this team that went undefeated. We dominated everyone. Okay, and we were 6-0 at the end of the season, and the championship game was between us and, so what the league did was, they put together an all-star team, like the super team, and they brought all the best players and made like one super team, and it was basically that team versus our team. And so we played, I still remember it, I don't think I'm exaggerating, but I think what I recall is, we had 6 seconds left, score was 0-0, okay, and so we were, I think about 50-yard line, somewhere in the middle of the field, and, you know, we huddled up. I was an offensive lineman, okay, so I huddled up. The quarterback called the play, and it's last play of the game, and he basically said, he looked to our running back. His nickname was Moon. His real name was Eric. I don't know exactly why he got that nickname, but he just looked at Moon and he said, Moon, you're the fastest guy here. Just run as far as you can, and I'm going to throw the ball to your direction, and hopefully you catch it and we score. That's what happened. Quarterback dropped back, and he just, you know, he's like 13 years old, right? He just threw the ball as far as he could. And here's Moon. I mean, he is fast. He runs down, he catches the ball, and he outruns everyone else and scores a touchdown. And we all celebrated. Undefeated season. All of us knew. I mean, all of us were happy. And, you know, whether you're in Little League or in high school or college or professional, when you go undefeated, man, it's special. So you got to celebrate. So we celebrated. But we all knew that we only won because of this guy, this Moon. The whole season, it was really, let's try to get him the ball, and hopefully he scores. I mean, that was our strategy. The whole season, we all celebrated, but in fact, the reality is, we all won because of him. The Bible is telling us, and Paul is writing, that all of us are blessed immensely. We've been adopted into the family of God. We've been born again. We've been rescued from sin. Our sins have been cleansed. And there's this eternal reward that awaits us. And all of that is there because of him, because of Christ. Now, if that's, I mean, that's at the center of the gospel message. And if that's true, there are tremendous implications. Okay, so this morning, I'm just going to share four of those implications with us. Number one, if that is true, that we are in Christ and that we've been blessed in him, number one, it means that we get what Jesus has. We get what Jesus has. If we are united with him, then we get what Jesus has. One of the, I think, most beautiful metaphor that Bible gives us of this union with Christ happens in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, he talks about marriage, but he's not really talking about marriage, right? He's talking about marriage, but he's talking about our relationship with Christ. And Paul says, Christ is our bridegroom, and we are his bride. That we are, our union with Christ is portrayed as a marriage, that we're married to Jesus. Now, when you get married, you know, several things happen, but one of the things that happen legally is that you and your spouse become one. What that means is if your spouse brings into your marriage tons of debt, student debt, you married him or her, well, that debt becomes your debt. Or if your spouse plays the lottery and she or he wins $1 billion, one ticket is in his pocket. Well, you know what? Because you're married to him, you're rich. It's not just his money, but it's your money. It's not his wealth, but your wealth. You know what the Bible is saying? The Bible is saying because you are united with him, you're married to Jesus, you get what he has. You share in his record. You become righteous. You get his holiness. You get his character. You get his status. You get what Jesus has. Now, what that means then is when God sees you, you are already righteous. Theologians call this an alien righteousness, a righteousness that's not from you, but from outside of you. But you get that. That's why the gospel is good news. It's you don't get this through your performance. You don't get it because you're working hard. No, you get it through faith in him. You're united with him. You're married to Jesus now. And when God sees you, he sees his son, and you get what he has. You are righteous. You are already sanctified. You are holy. That's what the Bible says. You are a holy nation. So first, we get, if we're united with Christ, if this is true in faith, then we get what Jesus has. We get his status. We get his righteousness. We get his wealth. We get it all. Second thing, then, is this. This means, if this is true, this means then God loves us as He loves the Son. God loves us. Not according to how much we've done for Him. God loves us not because we had a good week and we sort of obeyed the law or we followed through the things that we were supposed to do. But God loves us because we are united with Jesus. And simply that means that God loves us as He loves His Son. There's this prayer that Jesus prays in John chapter 17. That's pretty remarkable. And this is what Jesus prays. He says, Father, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you love me. Can I repeat the last portion there? So that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you love me. Jesus says, because they are now in me and I in them, you love them as you love me. That's why Paul, in his letters, he could confidently talk about the love of God. He says in Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, or rulers, things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, we're secure because God's love for us is in Christ. And that love is maximum love that someone can have for someone else. It's infinite, eternal, never-ending, never-breaking love. Because it's the Father's love for the Son. And we are in Him. The best illustration that I heard I have a pastor friend who recently spoke at one of the conferences that I attended, and I heard him talk about this. And he said that when he was in high school, he worked at Chuck E. Cheese. And so, you know, a few things that he did was he would go and serve food, wipe the tables, serve the food to the families. And usually, he said, the families were rude. You know, they were kind of upset because it's crowded, kids are everywhere, and parents just rude to him. Another thing that he did was when the machines, the games were broken, he would go and try to fix them. And so he would try to fix it as quickly as possible. But you have all these little kids like kicking him and whining and telling him to do it faster. So, I mean, he just said it was a miserable experience until he went backstage and he put on his Chuck E. Cheese costume. The mask, the costume, he came out and he said things changed completely. People came, hugged him, high-fived him, pet him. It was completely different. Now, friends, picture it, okay? On our own, we are doomed. On our own, we fail miserably. But Paul says in Colossians 3, he says, you have died, and now your life is hidden in Christ. You have died. Your life now is hidden in Christ. God loves us not because of you. Not because of what you've done or how good you are or how successful you are or anything like that. God loves you immensely, eternally, infinitely, with maximum love because you are hidden in Jesus. That's good news. It has nothing to do with us. You know what that does then is it allows us to rest. We don't have to try to attain or achieve something that we can't. It's already been done for us. Our part, and I could talk more about this a bit later, is our part is in faith. We trust in Christ. In faith, we are united with Him. And the Father sees us and He delights in us. He loves us with maximum love. That's the gospel. That's good. That's good news. Next thing that another implication that I think is helpful is that if this is true, that we are united with Him, is then we become like Him. Read once again with me verses 3 and 4 there. Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him." Another thing that happens is when we are in our union with Christ, we become like Him. Here it says, we will be holy and blameless. You know, when you spend a lot of time with someone, a good friend, you know, a roommate, if you're married, your spouse, you know, when you spend a lot of time with someone, you begin to kind of talk like them. You pick up their mannerisms. And if you are married for a long time, they start to look alike. maybe besides me and my wife, like a lot of couples, they kind of start to look alike. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says if we are united with Him, we become like Him. And here's the reason why. It's not only we are hidden in Christ. It's not only we are in Him, but He dwells in us. Another metaphor of this union in Christ is we are God's temple. And God's Spirit fills us. He lives in us. That's helpful because I think a lot of times our Christian life can be so discouraging because we know what the Bible says about how we should live. How much we should love people and how much we should forgive people. But we see ourselves over here, go, man, I can't. We have a hard time loving people close to us and hard time forgiving people. You know, talking to married couples, they go, man, I know my marriage is supposed to be here, that I'm supposed to love him and love her like Christ loved the church sacrificially, but man, oftentimes we're stuck here. Some of us feel like the Bible says that God is always with us and we should have joy and peace, but I really feel that. I feel often defeated and alone and I feel anxious. I'm here. And so there's this gap. And the list could go on and on and on. There's this gap that we see and we go, how do I close this gap and how do I get there? Here's the good news. You are united with Christ. That God's Spirit, Jesus Himself, through the Spirit of God, dwells in you. That's why Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Union with Christ means that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, dwells in us. And He is changing us. He's sanctifying us. He's shaping us so that we become like Him. That's good news. And so it's not our sheer willpower that we want to change, but no, God's Spirit, the Spirit of God that resurrected Christ, He is working in our hearts to change us, and He will accomplish it. Our job is to abide in Him. Our job is to walk with Him. We can't change our hearts, but we can abide with Christ. And when we do that, Spirit of the living God who dwells in us will change and sanctify us. And that's our hope. That's our hope. That we will, in our union with Jesus, we will become like Him. Okay? Alright. One more thing. One more quick last implication. If we are united with Christ, this means that ultimately we find our purpose in Him. Look with me again, and let's read from verse 7. He says, Paul says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us, in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose." What Paul is saying is, that God had a plan. And if you read this section, he talks about predestination and how He chose us. Basically, it's saying God had a plan. God had a plan for you. God had a plan to adopt you into his family. God had a plan to redeem you, forgive you, restore you, make you more like Jesus, and ultimately give you destiny that's everlasting. God had a plan. What the implication then is, if we are going to find our purpose, our destiny, we need to be in Christ. There's a song that came out a while ago, a movie, Frozen. In the movie Frozen, Princess Elsa sang this song powerfully, and a lot of little girls sang with her. And the words go like this. I wish I could sing it for you, but it says, you know, it's time to see what I can do, to test the limits and break through. No right, no wrong, no rules for me. I am free. Let it go. Do you remember that scene? You know, and so what she's doing is she's trying to find herself, right? She's talking about autonomy, authenticity. She's talking about freedom and expressing her true self. And that's actually one of the themes of our culture. If you can look within and find yourself and express yourself, then you will flourish. You, when you look deep inside, you can know who you are. That's like authenticity. That's a generation of authenticity. That's sort of the message that we get. Now, there are some good things there because, like Princess Elsa sang about, we should be pursuing our dreams, and you are made uniquely and beautifully. There's something unique about you. But it's only half true because the gospel says the way that you find yourself and find your life is not only not by looking in, but it's looking at Christ. Because it's in Him you will truly find who you are. You will know your destiny and know your purpose. That's what Paul is saying. That's what Scripture says. So knowing, if you want to know yourself and live that out, you need to run to Christ. And the Bible is saying then that the implication is you're not at the center. It's not looking in and trying to find who you are. No, it's this whole world, this whole universe is God's redemptive story. It's God's story. God's doing something, but He's inviting you to be part of what He is doing. That you can play a part in this grand redemptive story of God where Jesus is the hero. And God says, I want you to be part of that story. And that's what Paul is saying here. I've adopted, I've redeemed you. I brought you into be part of my team. So friends, so today for some of us, maybe you need to take that step. Maybe you've been on the wrong side of things. Maybe today you turn and say, I trust in you, Jesus. Maybe that's the first step that you take. My guess is for many of us that you've taken that step. My hope and prayer for me and for us is that we can realign or recenter our life on Christ, because really He's at the center. And when we put Him at the center, we begin to experience all that Paul is talking about. In chapter 3 of Ephesians, and I'll close with this. In chapter 3 of Ephesians, so Paul is kind of finishing up his explanation of this blessing that we have. And this is how he ends that section. And it happens in Ephesians chapter 3. And this is what he says. And this is a prayer that he prays for Ephesians, but this is a great prayer for us, for me and you. He says, for this reason, so he talked about the gospel and all that we have. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your being. And then He says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now He's talking to Christians. But so He's saying, I want you more and more through faith, make sure that Christ is at the center of your heart. That's what He's saying. And then He says, that you being rooted, then you will know you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. So his prayer is, I want you to know this love. Look how he describes this love. He says, I want you to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. He's saying, I want you to have this knowledge of this love that surpasses knowledge. And what he's saying is, not just knowing love in our minds, but he's talking about experiential knowledge. Really know this love of God that's eternal and infinite. This love, Paul says, I pray that this will become real in your life. And friends, that's my prayer for you. Pray for our church and pray for me. As I said, during sabbatical, I was praying and meditating on scripture and reading books so that I can experience more of God's love for me in Christ, because that's where it starts. And once we have that, once we can experience that and be renewed daily and weekly and monthly, then we can go out and begin to live boldly and also humbly. Love people and serve people. We could do that. But Paul says, man, I want you to get this. I want you to know this. So let's, as we, in some sense, we're slowly entering into our fall season. I know that some of you are holding on to summer. And so enjoy the next few weeks. But as we think about this ministry calendar, this sort of school and church life, let's enter into that season with knowing and earnestly longing for more of Jesus' love for us. Okay, let's pray and we'll close our time. Next Sunday, I hope to talk more about how we can experience his love more. Because Paul talks about that, and I believe in chapters 3 and 4. But for today, I wonder if we can end our time just kind of sitting there as you are and just resting, knowing that God's love for you is rooted in Christ. And that means that before you do anything, He loves you. And that love is eternal, infinite, never breaking, never ending love. And for some of us who might be maybe discouraged because you had a bad summer or things are not going well, and you're doubting whether God's really in your life, God's really leading you, if God really loves you, because maybe you're struggling with similar sin, I want you to know that it's not about you. Ultimately, it's about Jesus. And because of Him, God loves you with an ever-ending, never-ending love. So let's just rest in that. I want to give us 30 seconds. If you would just, in your heart, pray and meditate and thank and turn to Jesus so that you might experience the love of the Father for you. Do that. I'll say a prayer and then we'll close our time with songs. Dear Heavenly Father, we confess we often hear voices that are coming from wrong places, and we feel anxious because we hear these voices and really allow them to penetrate into our hearts. Lord, we today open our hearts to you and want to hear your voice, the voice that declares your love for your people, your children, because of your Son Jesus. And so we completely rest in that. We completely say, thank you, Jesus. So I pray that would become more real to my friends here today. Even as we leave this place, Holy Spirit, come and really encourage them and lift them up. Help them to rise up out of where they are as they look up and see your face for them in Jesus. We thank you for the gospel. Thank you that before we do anything, you love us. And even in our failures, you love us. We praise you and we thank you. And in Jesus' name, we pray.